Chapter 8. Harold's words cracked through the room like a thunderclap. Cindy felt as though the living room floor shifted beneath her feet, as if the whole world had somehow lost its balance.
What?
Cindy gasped.
I thought you knew. How else do you think he pays for everything? Harold asked with widened eyes. I don't mean to be rude, but what's your mother see in a guy like that? Harold inquired. She seems like a pretty sharp lady.
Cindy didn't want to talk anymore. She closed her eyes tightly, trying to block out the images she was seeing in her mind. Raffi and Mom together in a drug bust. Mom using drugs again. It was all too painful to think about.
Look, Harold, I've got homework to do and I have a sketch for...
I'm sorry if I upset you, Cindy, Harold said, putting his hand on her shoulder. Do you want to work in my grandma's place?
No, Cindy replied. I just need to be by myself for a while. Tell your grandma that I'm sorry, but I just want to stay here.
Okay. Well, I guess I'll see you later, Harold said, hurrying to leave.
Back in her apartment, Cindy thought about what Harold had said. Even though she had no real proof, Cindy knew his words were true. Since the day she met Raffi, she had not trusted him, sensing all along that he was secretive and dishonest. What disturbed her most was not that Raffi was selling drugs, but that Mom was still planning to marry him. Cindy was not sure whether her mother knew the truth about Raffi, but she knew she had to confront her as soon as possible. She decided to wait on the couch until her mother came home. It was close to midnight when Cindy heard her mother's keys jingling against the apartment door.
Cindy, Mom grumbled as she walked in.
Tomorrow's a school day. Why are you still up?
Mom, I gotta talk to you, Cindy said.
It's really important.
Now what? Her mother groaned.
I've already had a bad day. Rude customers, Raffi not showing up at the restaurant. Now I gotta hear one of your problems?
Cindy swallowed hard.
Mom, Raffi is a drug dealer.
Cindy's mother dropped her coat and glared at her daughter.
Girl, shut your mouth. You want me to slap you? How dare you say such a thing? I can't believe you're so jealous of him that you'd make up lies like this.
Mom,
Cindy cried desperately.
I'm sick of hearing you talk bad about Raffi, Mom yelled. Now you're making up lies about him. This has got to stop. It just has to stop.
A guy from school told me everybody knows Raffi's a dealer, Cindy explained.
Well, everybody is wrong. People are always spreading rumors about Raffi because they are jealous of how successful he is. Raffi's a good man, Cindy. Don't you spread lies about him, and don't you ever repeat to me the garbage you hear. Understand?
Mom, Cindy pleaded, tears in her eyes.
It's the truth. I don't want to hear another word about it. Understand? I'm tired, and I'm going to bed.
She hurried down the hall and slammed her bedroom door. Tears were streaming down Cindy's cheeks by the time she reached her bedroom. She crawled into bed and buried her head in her pillow. It was just a matter of time, Cindy thought, before Raffi would get someone arrested or killed. Maybe it would be Mom. Frightened, Cindy trembled in her dark bedroom for hours, the silence interrupted occasionally by the distant howl of a faraway police siren. The next morning, Cindy and Mom exchanged no words at breakfast. Cindy could tell her mother was still bitter about the previous night's discussion. The tension in the small kitchen was so thick that Cindy was glad to sling on her backpack and get out of the apartment, even if she was going to Bluford. On the way to school, Cindy wondered what she should do. Her mother would not listen to her, and she could think of no one who could help her. Then, as she approached Bluford, Cindy saw Bobby arriving at school in his Nissan. Maybe he would be able to help, she thought. Yet as she walked up to his car, she thought of him leaving the Chinese restaurant to talk to the mysterious man in the Mercedes. Was there a connection? She wondered.
Hey, Bobby, she said quickly. Listen, I have something important to tell you.
I found out that Rafi Whitaker, the guy my mom is dating, is a drug dealer. I'm so scared.
Bobby sat there a moment, expressionless, and then slowly got out of the car. His silent reaction made her even more desperate. She knew he was hiding something from her.
That was Rafi you were talking to in the parking lot the other day, wasn't it? Cindy asked, tears in her eyes.
Bobby, why'd you lie to me? You're not into drugs, are you?
Cinderella, relax, he said gently, putting his hand softly on her back. I told you, I was strung out last year, but that's ancient history. I'm clean now, I swear it. There is no way I'm going down that road again.
I'm glad, Cindy said, relieved. But what did Rafi want with you?
He heard about how I was last year and wondered if I'd find him some punks to buy this new stuff he's selling. It's a drug they use to put cats to sleep. Whitaker says it's a real trip. I told him to get lost, that's all it was.
Bobby smiled at Cindy and wrapped his arms around her gently.
You ain't got a worry in the world about your man, Cinderella, he insisted.
Cindy was grateful to hear Bobby's words. She needed someone to talk to, someone to trust, and Bobby seemed to understand that. Enveloped in his arms, she felt safe. This was the side of Bobby that Harold did not know about, she thought. Cindy put her arms on Bobby's back and pulled him closer. For a second, buried in Bobby's arms, she did not worry about anything. Then thoughts of her mother flooded her mind.
Bobby, I'm so scared Rafi will get my mom in trouble. Listen, I'll see what I can do. Just don't talk to nobody else about this, okay? Stay cool, Bobby said. I'll take care of business.
What are you gonna do?
I'll figure something out, trust me, he assured her. Now guess what, he said, winking. I got something for you.
Yeah? Cindy asked, her heart racing.
Meet me after school at my car.
I will, Bobby, Cindy promised, grateful that he was going to help her, though still unsure about his connection to Rafi. At lunchtime, Cindy noticed some seniors gathered in the schoolyard. Bobby was among them. Next to him were Andre Watkins and Pedro Ortiz. They had reputations as troublemakers and druggies. Cindy watched uneasily from the other side of the schoolyard as Bobby talked. She wondered what he was saying. Perhaps he was warning the other kids about Rafi and his new drug. If Rafi's blue for customers drifted away, Cindy thought, then maybe he would go somewhere else and leave her mother alone. After classes, Cindy went to turn in her finished cartoon to Miss Abbott.
Excellent work, Cindy. You are very talented, the teacher said. We've all been very impressed with what you've done so far. You should be very proud of yourself.
Thanks, said Cindy, smiling.
There's a national drawing contest that I just heard about today, Miss Abbott continued, and I thought that maybe you might like to enter it. You're certainly good enough. Top prize is $500.
That sounds great, Cindy said, trying to sound excited. She was honored that Miss Abbott mentioned the contest to her, but she was unable to think of anything except her mother, Rafi, and Bobby.
Well, I'll get you all the information.
The teacher smiled.
We can fill out the paperwork together. Just gather your best work to enter.
Cindy thanked Miss Abbott quickly and left, explaining that she had another meeting to go to. The truth was that she was worried about her mother and eager to talk to Bobby. Cindy made it to the Nissan before Bobby did. As she waited for him, she saw a smoke-silver Mercedes cruising down the street and then stop near the school parking lot. Looking closely, she recognized the driver. It was Rafi. An attractive female student from Blueford ran to the car, and Rafi smiled and talked to her. Cindy shuddered. She wondered what Mom would say if she were watching him right now. As Cindy waited for Bobby, Pedro Ortiz stepped out of Blueford and swaggered into the parking lot towards her. He was wearing a baseball cap sideways on his head, and his hands were stuffed into the pockets of black, oversized jeans.
A ratty black leather jacket with the Raiders logo hung on his broad shoulders. As he walked past Cindy, he fixed his eyes on her. She felt uncomfortable in his gaze.
"Don't get in over your head," he said mysteriously as he passed.
"What are you talking about?" she asked. Pedro did not answer. Instead, he continued walking casually towards the Mercedes. As he neared the end of the parking lot, the Mercedes cruised away. Pedro stopped where he was and mumbled something under his breath. Then he turned and headed back towards school. Bobby came along as Pedro was walking away. The two boys nodded but didn't say a word. When Bobby reached Cindy, she said, "That guy gives me the creeps."
"Pedro? He's cool. He's just a homie, Cinderella," Bobby said.
"He on drugs too?" Cindy asked. Bobby smiled.
"Girl, you gotta calm down. Just go with the flow."
Cindy was not satisfied with that answer. How could she relax when her mother wanted to marry a drug dealer who cruised the local high school? Frustrated, she plopped down in the Nissan. "Where are we going?"
"Down to the ocean, baby," he said. "We're gonna park and walk down on the sand. It might do you some good to get away for a little while. You need a break."
Despite her anxiety about her mother, Cindy liked Bobby's idea. It was only 3 o'clock, so they had plenty of time to go and come back before it got late. Besides, Cindy thought, even if she wanted to talk to her mother again, she would have to wait a few hours for her to come home from work. She'd rather be with Bobby at the beach than alone in the empty apartment. "Let's go," she said excitedly. When they got to the beach, Bobby spread a huge towel on the sand. It was a cool day, and there were a few people around. Cindy sat on the towel with Bobby's arm around her, watching the waves roll in from the horizon. "It's so pretty here," Cindy said, listening to the rhythmic crashing of the waves. "I'd love to have a house right here. I'd wake up to the sun shining off the ocean and go to sleep listening to the sound of the waves."
"Who knows?" Bobby said. "Maybe someday I'll be rich. Who says it can't happen? Coach says I could go pro after college. First thing I'd do is build you a house on the beach, no matter how much it cost."
"Bobby," Cindy said, shaking her head. She couldn't believe he was talking about their future. She liked the thought of them still being together in the days to come, but as she thought about the future, her mind drifted back towards her mother. What would the future bring for her? Cindy wondered. Cindy wrapped her arms around her knees and looked out over the crimsoned water. The sun was beginning to set. "It's getting late," she said sadly. "I better be getting home soon." Bobby reached in his pocket and handed her a small, wrapped box.
"Here's the surprise I promised you," he said.
"Bobby," Cindy exclaimed. "What did you buy?" She had never received a gift from a boy. Her hands trembled as she fumbled with the ribbon and opened the box. A golden bracelet sparkled in the dimming sunlight.
"A bracelet? Oh, it's beautiful," Cindy cried, pulling it out of the box.
"I've never owned anything as nice as this," she said. It was so rich-looking, so delicate, with three little charms hanging on it. One was a heart, the second was an arrow, and then a tiny letter B. Cindy's hands were trembling so much she could not put the bracelet on. Bobby reached over gently.
"Here, let me help."
"I can't believe you got this for me," Cindy said. "I'm so happy I could die."
"You don't want to do that,"
he laughed, delighted by her reaction. It was 6:30 when Bobby finally dropped Cindy off at home. Before she left his car, she gave him a long kiss. It was their nicest one so far, and her heart raced with excitement. When Cindy stepped out of the car, she felt so happy that she almost forgot her problems with her mother. But as she approached the apartment, her worries came rushing back. What should she say to her mother about Raffi? Cindy slowly opened the front door, hoping her mother would be in a good mood.
"Hey, ugly mugly," said a familiar voice.
It was Raffi, sitting on the living room sofa.
You looking for a bag for that face?
He sneered. Cindy heard her mother rattling dishes in the kitchen. She was unable to hear anything Raffi said. Instantly, Cindy's pulse started to throb and her palms began to sweat. She wanted to call the police or somehow force her mother to see the truth about Raffi, yet Cindy knew she had no proof, and her mother would not listen to her. For a moment, the two stared at each other in icy silence.
What you gonna do, ugly mugly? Raffi challenged.
As she looked into his cold, dark eyes, Cindy's anger grew. Sitting on her couch was a man who had insulted her, lied to her mother, and risked destroying their fragile family. I know you're a drug dealer, Cindy said in a low, angry rasp. I don't care what happens to you, but you better not get my mom in trouble, she warned.
Whoa, you got some mouth on you, girl,
Raffi said, twirling one of the gold chains around his neck.
You best watch that mouth, or you might be picking your teeth out of your lap. You get my meaning?
Just then, Cindy's mother came in with a plate of cold shrimp and crackers, Raffi's favorite snack.
Hey, Cindy, her mother said. Why don't you have some shrimp with Raffi and me?
Cindy did not even acknowledge her mother. She glared quickly at Raffi, rushed to her bedroom, and slammed the door so hard the walls trembled. From her room, Cindy heard her mother laugh nervously and try to smooth over Cindy's behavior.
Oh, Raffi, she's just being a teenager, that's all. I swear, sometimes I think all mothers should get a warning about how their adorable babies can turn into teenage monsters.
Raffi chuckled.
She's just going through some growing pains right now. She'll get used to me, he assured her. She don't have any other choice, he added.
That's right, baby, her mother said. That's right.
Cindy flopped onto her bed and stared at the ceiling. She felt as if she was locked in a jail cell, one which she would never escape.